Blog Talk Radio.
Someday I'll have me a chauffeur and a block long limousine, EO11. EO11. Someday I'll have me a penthouse, stacks and stacks of Bowling Green, EO11. EO11. It's all a state of mind, whether or not you find that place down there or heaven. In the meantime, EO, EO, EO 11, EO 11, EO 11. And I'll show you a man that's dead, real dead. Once I had me a dream, but that dream got kicked in the head. Dream dead. I nearly had me that chauffeur and that block-long limousine, EO11, EO11. I nearly had me that penthouse, all them stacks of Bowling Green, E11, 11. Some judge is gonna say, I'm putting you away for 40 years and 7. In the meantime, EO11.
Yeah. James Bostic here, Conservative's Perspective. What's up, y'all? Hope everybody had a great day today. Could have been better. Got a feeling it's going to end up pretty good. What do I want to do here? Oh, I know what I want to do. We got a pretty good guest on tonight. She'll be calling in here in just a little bit. His name is Hal Moroz, and he is a candidate who is running for a place on the bench of the Georgia State Supreme Court. And just to show you, you never ever know where a good interview is going to come from. Now, case in point, our man tonight. A couple weeks ago, I was walking through a local cutout store called Ollie's. They're a pretty big franchise in this part of the country. And, if you were familiar with Big Lots before they went upscale and started selling Broyhill furniture, well, that's how they used to be. It was like Ollie's, like I said, closeouts, buying overstocked inventory from other stores, that sort of deal. So I'm walking around in there. And I get a text. I get a text from my friend Don Ewan. And Don gives me the contact information for Mr. Moroz. He said he's a friend of ours. He's running for the state Supreme Court in Georgia. Great guy. He'll make a great guest. See if you can't get him, do what you can to get him on your show here in the next couple of weeks. I said, thank you very much. I'm going to get right on that. And I did. Sure enough, the guy was totally accessible. Sent him an email, told him who I was. Within an hour or two, he emailed me back, said, hey, yep, Don already told me about you. Looking forward to talking with you. Let's work it out. And we did, and tonight is that night. And confirmed with him just yesterday. We're looking forward to hearing from him here in just a little bit. In the meantime, here's this.
Thank you.
America is a land of heroes, a place where greatness is born, where destinies are forged, and where legends come to life. This is the home of Thomas Edison and Teddy Roosevelt, of many great generals, including Washington, Pershing, Patton, and MacArthur. This is the home of Abraham Lincoln, Frederick Douglass, Amelia Earhart, Harriet Tubman, the Wright brothers, Neil Armstrong, and so many more. This is the country where children learn names like Wyatt Earp, Davy Crockett, and Annie Oakley. This is the place where the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth and where Texas Patriots made their last stand at the Alamo. The American nation was carved out of the vast frontier by the toughest, strongest, fiercest, and most determined men and women ever to walk on the face of the earth. Our ancestors braved the unknown, tamed the wilderness, settled the Wild West, lifted millions from poverty, disease, and hunger, vanquished tyranny and fascism, ushered the world to new heights of science and medicine, laid down the railroads, dug out the canals, raised up the skyscrapers. Our ancestors built the most exceptional republic ever to exist in all of human history, and we are making it greater than ever before. This is our glorious and magnificent inheritance. We are Americans. We are pioneers. We are the pathfinders. We settled the new world. We built the modern world. And we changed history forever by embracing the eternal truth that everyone is made equal by the hand of Almighty God. America is the place where anything can happen. America is the place where anyone can rise. And here, on this land, on this soil, on this continent, the most incredible dreams come true. This nation is our canvas, and this country is our masterpiece. We look at tomorrow and see unlimited frontiers just waiting to be explored. Our brightest discoveries are not yet known. Our most thrilling stories are not yet told. Our grandest journeys are not yet made. The American age, the American epic, the American adventure has only just begun. Our spirit is still young. The sun is still rising. God's grace is still shining. And my fellow Americans, the best is yet to come.
Once again, asking the question, where are the Democrats that are saying this? What Democrat is holding out these ideals, not ideas, but ideals, and saying to the American people, this is your inheritance, this is your legacy? Yeah, that's right. None of them. Here's what. Crazy. Let me see if I can find it here. Bernie. I think I put it under Biden. Yeah, Biden. Okay. Mini Tuesday comes along, which was last Tuesday, and everybody's getting in line. The club has called this meeting to order, and everybody's falling into line. Everybody that's fallen out and dropped out of the race, they're endorsing Joe Biden, just exactly the way the club wants them to do it. Now, I don't think Elizabeth Warren has endorsed Bernie Sanders, but a number of the Warren team has. I think she's still holding out to see which way this is going to go. Got to hit the cough button. Hang tight. No, I don't have coronavirus. And even if I did, big whoop. Okay. So Biden does well. You know, he does well in Bernie won 3, and I think Joe picked up the rest. And one of the states that was crucial for Bernie Sanders was Michigan. And I'm not exactly sure why he didn't do well there. You know, you got Tlaib. Is Tlaib from Michigan? Yeah, I think Omar's from Minnesota. Tlaib's from Michigan. You know, so they're part of the squad. And I think those guys are all kind of loosely, you know, rallying around Bernie. So you would have thought he'd done better, but he didn't. And miracle of miracles, Joe wins. Just listen to this. This is Joe Biden. You probably heard it already. This is Joe Biden in the middle of a bunch of United American Auto Workers Union, American Auto Workers Union guys, and he's in a plant. I think it's Flint, Michigan. It's a Fiat Chrysler plant, Flint, Michigan. And the auto worker, this guy's got a legitimate question because you know Joe Biden's position on guns and to further aggravate that situation, he says if elected, he's going to put that Fruit Loop Beto O'Rourke in charge of gun confiscation. Here's what went down. Now, remind you, Democrat presidential candidate, a man among the people.
How you have been getting the journalists that are the gun enthusiasts, and you are actively trying to diminish your second amendment right to take away the gun.
You're poor shit. Now, shush. I support the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment, just like right now, if you yell fire, that's not free speech. But from the very beginning, I have a shotgun, I have a 20 gauge, a 12 gauge, my son's hunt. Guess what? You're not allowed to own any weapons. I'm not taking your gun away at all. You need 100 rounds?
You were a NATO and you said you were going to take our guns.
I did not say that. But the viral video, like the other ones are putting out, they're saying they're lying.
Your voice, you said that you're taking our guns.
Oh, he declarified it.
Wait. Take your AR-14s and whatnot.
Okay, this is not okay.
Hold on. Hey, let's
get
this. There's a lot of guys on it.
I'm not working.
Okay, it's obvious at this point, and in a way, you know, I suppose, and I talked about this on Tuesday. I suppose from a strictly humanitarian point of view, I look at Joe Biden, and this stuff happens all the damn time. Okay. He's standing in a crowd of American, you know, Union American auto workers. They're talking about the Second Amendment. They wouldn't have a serious conversation with this guy about the Second Amendment because unions usually vote Democrat, but they just do. You know, the unions support the Democrat platforms and they're all fellow travelers. You know, there's a lot of Marxists in the unions, a lot of Marxists in the Democrat Party, for that matter. But these guys, you know, they have these legitimate questions, and there was a better way to have handled this. And he can handle this like every other politician, say, you know, we need to have a serious dialogue, and say nothing. But what does he do? He tells the guy he's full of shit, and then you can't hardly hear it, but towards the end, he's asking him to take it outside. Okay. The guy can't do this. Let's just say it. I mean, well, sure he can do it. Yeah, he can do it. He's punch drunk. He's been in the ring too many times, so he can't do this. Back in the 80s, he had surgery for two brain aneurysms. And these brain aneurysms, according to the folks who know about it, and I picked this up at frontpagemag.com, he's had thought process dysfunction for a long time. And he's done well in covering it, and probably started out being somewhat superficial, somewhat minor, but then things metastasized. He's 77, the youngest man in the race on the Democrat side at 77 years old. Well, Donald Trump's 73. Yeah, that's true. Donald Trump is 73 years old. And Bernie Sanders, I think, 78. There's no comparison. Donald Trump, yeah, he's 73 years old. He is an indefatigable 73 years old. I couldn't hump it the way Donald Trump does. And you can bet your butt Bernie Sanders isn't. And Joe Biden can't. His handlers are starting to bring his speeches down from anywhere between 7 to 15 minutes. Because the less he talks, the better off they are. And they got to go with Joe. Why? Because they can't give Bernie the nomination. They just can't. And they're not gonna. Now, they had hoped by this time that Bernie would say, okay, I give, I'm releasing my delegates, and I'm telling you, stay away from the corporations, stay away from private pay health insurance, endorsing Joe Biden. And that would have been it. But he's not doing that. No. We're in it, and we're going to stay in it. And we're going to ride this train to its inevitable, bitter conclusion, destination Milwaukee. Oh, yeah. And he's absolutely right to do it. You know, this is going to be part of what burns the Democrat Party to the ground. And he's right. And again, you know, he's not going to get the nomination. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I think they're saying, and I haven't, to be honest with you, I've had a few things going on, and I haven't had a chance to look at it very closely. But they're saying, you know, it's easy now for Biden to say that he's the presumptive nominee. Now, I don't know if it may be easy for him to say, but I don't know if that's accurate from a mathematical standpoint, from a numerical point of view. So it could be that, yeah, he could probably say he's the presumptive nominee because he's in the lead with the most delegates. But is there a chance? Is there a chance that Bernie still can come up with enough delegates to get that magic 1991 or get enough delegates to where neither one of these boys get the magic 1991? And then it's a Donnybrook in Milwaukee. But it's not going to matter because in the second round of voting at this convention, should it become a brokered one, and there are still a lot of people who think that's the way it's going to go. And it could. I suppose it could. But here's the thing. If it goes to a brokered convention, then what? Well, Biden wins the nomination. Because those 771 superdelegates that are waiting in the wings in that second round of votes And those superdelegates are pretty much controlled by the DNC, which means that the DNC says, yeah, we're going to go with Biden. That's what we want. That's what the club wants. That's what the money Democrats want. And by God, they're going to get it. Yeah, I know he's crazy. Yeah, I know he's senile. Of course we know he's a doddering old fool. We've watched him for the last year and a half. We know he's been a doddering old fool for 10 years. But we really know because he's been campaigning. He's been in front of cameras. It's all over the place. He's a poster child for senile dementia. But we're going to go with him anyway. Because we can't let Bernie have the nomination. And some of the cooler heads will say, well, you know, legislatively, he can still be, you know, dealt with. He can't get this stuff passed. Well, no, he can't get this stuff passed, but he can issue executive orders. And for 4 years, at a minimum, those things will be in effect. And who knows what kind of damage they'll do in 4 years. It will most likely be irreparable. So Bernie can't have the nomination. And they're not going to give it to him. The Democrat money boys say not a chance. No way, no how. We're afraid we can't open the airlock doors, Bernie. Precisely. So what does that leave? That leaves Joe. That leaves old Joe. So Bernie stays in, and you know they go through the rest of the primaries, so, you know, until Biden picks up 1,991 votes, Bernie's not going to stop, and even then he may not stop. That's why they have those 771 super duper delegates there waiting in the wings, knives drawn, hammers pulled back, arrows knocked. And they're, you know, they're just waiting. He's waiting. So, you know, this time, if they really want, and they need this stuff done as quickly as possible. They want Bernie out as quickly as possible because they're looking at the fact that they're going to need as much time as they can conceivably get to try and swage these wounds and get the hurt feelings out of the way with the Bernie people, which I... got to hit the cough button again. Sit tight. No, it's not coronavirus. No, shut up. It's a cold. It's a Chinese cold. That's all. I got it when I opened up a pair of slave labor tennis shoes I picked up from Amazon. But they got to get him out. And everybody, and I just don't know that he's going to go quietly. I mean, he doesn't have anything else to lose. His people probably see this coming. And you know, they're waiting. They're probably exercising some patience because they're going to wait till everybody gets in Milwaukee. And that's when they're going to show their ass. That's when they're going to go off. And you know what? When I look back at the years, and we're talking about years now, of violence that's been visited upon Donald Trump supporters, the elderly Trump supporters, female Trump supporters, kids wearing MAGA hats. When I look and see the violence visited upon them because of no other reason than they support a presidential candidate different from the Marxists. Now this violence that they have visited on Trump supporters are going to be visited upon their own kind. Now, I'm sure they have some degree of separation from these people, and they'll have to have that in order to do it. But Bernie Sanders loses the nomination. He does not get it. He's not going to get it. The Bernie people are going to beat up everybody who's not a Bernie person. They're going to beat up the Klobuchar crowd. They're going to beat up the Buttigieg crowd. They're going to beat up the Yang crowd. They're going to beat up the Steyer and Bloomberg crowds. They're going to beat up the Biden people. They're going to beat up everybody who's not them. They're going to beat up the cops. They're going to beat up innocent bystanders. Clubs are going to come out. Bricks undoubtedly going to get thrown. God forbid one of these peck sniffs decides that they want to take a pistol and shoot into the cops or shoot at innocent bystanders. Whew. I'm just glad there's not going to be any Republicans there. We've had enough. Let them get a taste of it. And I'm fearful because you know people are going to get hurt. Cops are going to get hurt needlessly because these people don't have to engage in this kind of behavior. But they're going to. And they're going to target the police. Cops are going to get hurt because they've been targeted by these people, along with anybody who's not a Bernie bro. I just don't know. I mean, but it's going to happen. I think there's no way around it. It's going to happen. The people, you know, the Bernie people who talk about this stuff, they're not real smart, but they don't have to be. They just have to have a penchant for destruction and vandalism and violence, and there's a lot of those guys on that side. Oh, my gosh, I got to hit the cough button again. Mother of pearl. It's just this dry, irritating cough. Good thing I bought 14 cases of toilet paper. So, is it tomorrow night? Is that when the debate is? I think tomorrow, coming up in the next couple of days, we've got a debate. The party of diversity, the party who gave us Black Lives Matter, Occupy Wall Street, the modern Black Panther Party, the Ku Klux Klan, the Democrat Socialists of America, men being allowed to go into women's bathrooms because the men are pretending to be women and insist that everyone else humor them in their sick psychotic fantasy. This party, this inclusive party, this diverse party, this party of, oh, so many different, separate, special parts. This party of love and peace and buying the world a Coke and teaching it how to sing in perfect harmony. This party, the best this party can come up with, is two bitter, angry, old white guys. That's all they have. And the expectation, gay people, black people, LGBTQers, Occupy Wall Street types, penis deniers, vaginal rejectors, aborting children after they are born, all you people, that's what they're expecting you to rally around the flag with. That is the station right there. That is the standard to which you and your ilk are expected to repair. And carry one of these two dried up, worn out old bastards into the White House. Down to the bottom of the hour, we will be back with more of Conservative Perspective as soon as I find something for us to listen to. This is ACP right here, Patriot Nation Radio Network. Back after this. Ha, okay, we're back. I just figured out what button to push. Gojira, King of the Monsters. James Bostic here with Conservative Perspective. Hey, what's up? Well, we were expecting a guest tonight. Helm Rose was supposed to join us at the top of the hour. Something obviously has happened, and he is not here, and that's okay. We know that whatever it was has probably been pretty important, and we will get with Mr. Morose. He'll be on the show sometime if he doesn't call in. Same thing happened Tuesday night. Danny Hamilton was scheduled to be there at 7 o'clock, but he had some emergencies that had to be dealt with right then and there and called in as soon as he got everything done, so it all worked out. Going to be the same thing this week. They got a debate coming up on, 3 days from now, the 15th. So that's Sunday. Okay. Friday. So yeah, Sunday. So the DNC and CNN have collaborated and colluded, I suppose, if you want to say that, to provide Joe Biden with his preferred comfort format for the next debate between Joe and Bernie Sanders. The club knows that Biden does best in debate formats when sitting down at a desk, just like the 2012 debate between Joe Biden and Paul Ryan. CNN's hosting the debate. CNN is the most friendly control operation for the needs of the club. So what happens? CNN and the club agree to a small venue town hall format where Joe Biden will be sitting down at a desk to debate Bernie Sanders. It is all predictable, and it is all predictable in the extreme. See how these pieces have suddenly fallen into place now that when Bernie started the surge, what happened? Well, the remaining candidates in the race brought out the long knives for him after Iowa and then Colorado and then Vermont and New Hampshire and Nevada. So they went after him. So after a private call last Friday with CNN, which is moderating the March 15th debate, Sanders' team balked at a new proposed format for the debate, saying it gives his opponent, Joe Biden, too much of a break in their first one-on-one face-off. Biden's camp denied that it was pressing for a sit-down debate. No, we're not asking for it, but CNN thinks I ought to have it because they want me to do well. Bless their hearts. Not dead air, hydrating. So, the format for this debate coming up in Arizona, which would be the first since Joe Biden's big blowout Super Tuesday victories, would have Bernie and Joe seated for the first time this election cycle, and they would take multiple questions from the audience. Now, in the previous 10 debates, the candidates stood at lecterns, and nearly all the questions were asked by professional moderators. The new format's going to be more like a town hall style production featuring audience questions, but in a more intimate setting with the candidates in chairs behind desks, probably wearing cardigans and holding kitty cats or something. Who knows? Joe Biden doesn't want to go head to head with Bernie Sanders, stand there for 2 hours and go back and forth with him. He wants it broken up with audience questions because he knows in that environment he won't fare very well. Now, the audience members, obviously, who are going to be asking these questions, every man jack of them are all going to be plants by the club and by CNN, and the Biden campaign is going to be provided all the topics and all the questions just the same way Donna Brazile did Hillary Clinton back in 2016, and they're going to do it way at a time. So these guys can help with their rehearsal efforts, just like they did with Hillary in 2016. Wash, rinse, repeat. It never ends. And it's exactly what they're going to do. So they're going to set it up this way so that Joe, you know, looks a little bit better, probably looks a little more presidential. But I don't know if it's – is that going to be enough? okay? Because he says a lot of stupid things, all right? And I'm thinking that if he is sitting down and rested, he'll probably be capable of saying a lot more stupid stuff. And in that, you know, continues to shoot himself in the foot. Now, here's the deal. If you and I know this, and we can see it. Nobody wants to say it too much. And when they say it, they kind of talk around it. They don't really say anything about it. They just kind of, and that's okay, too. You know, that's how some of these guys have to do it. But we don't have to do that here. I think that mentally this guy is fading. He's got some gears that are missing a few teeth. Things get jammed up. He's not smooth running. I just can't see it. Now, what about this? Joe Biden wins the debate. Joe Biden wins. He wins enough. He wins enough. He wins that magic number. He gets the 1,991 delegates. He's made the nominee. Now he's got to debate Donald Trump. It'll be a series of debates. Even having the answers, even being possessed of the answers, do you really think Joe can turn in enough of a performance to outshine Donald Trump? Really? I don't see it. I just don't see it. I can't see it. I've tried to see it a couple of different times. I've tried to see it with Joe. I've tried to see it with Bernie. I tried to see it with Marianne Williamson. I tried to see it with Andrew Yang, with Pete Buttigieg. I tried to see it with Steyer, with little Mikey Bloomberg. I've tried to see it with all of them. And nobody hits that, man. Nobody can hit that baseline. Nobody can step up to that metric and go again. Nobody can ride the mechanical bull with the setting of Donald Trump. They just can't do it. Everybody's been screaming bloody murder about this great horse race in the Democrat, you know, in the Democrat Party for this nomination. These guys are barely shuffling to the glue factory. This is no horse race. This is a joke. And it's sad because the DNC won't give, they're not going to give Bernie Sanders a nomination. He's not their guy. And look at the guy they got and look what they're putting him through. Now, Joe Biden is a nepotist. He's a crook. He's corrupt. He's used his position in public office throughout his entire career, from senator, congressman, whatever he was, up into the vice presidency, to enrich and benefit himself and his family. That's all he's ever done. He's a crook, a thief, and he's done it on the American taxpayer's nickel, and he's never thought anything about it. It hasn't bothered him in the slightest. I don't feel bad for Joe Biden getting his butt whipped in his campaign. I don't feel bad for this particular guy, Joe Biden, in light of all the things he's done, to be ridiculed and humiliated this way. From a humanitarian standpoint, I think it's sad that the people closest to him, the people who are supposed to care about him, the people who are supposed to be there and have his back, aren't doing the right thing. Because if they were doing the right thing, somebody would have said at some point, Dad, you got to quit. It's not working. We don't need this. We don't need this. We got plenty of money. They're not going to do anything to you if you just go away. They're not going to take your money away. They're not going to put you in jail. Just quit. But if you keep on this way, we all burn. Dad, I burn. Uncle Jimmy burns. Jill burns. Everybody burns. We don't need that. But no, nobody's going to say that to him. They're all hoping, honest to God, that he's going to win. And because of that, then they can continue with business as usual. No biggie. And Joe Biden's performances are not going, I don't think they're going, I don't see an improvement. I don't see him looking sharper, even though they minimize his time in front of cameras and microphones. I don't think it's going to matter. I think that as this campaign grinds on him, and they say these things are physically demanding, and they must be. You got to be all over the place. You got to be meeting with people nonstop. You have to be out there in the hustings, pressing the flesh, traveling around. And I would say it's tough on a young person, let alone, you know, somebody like Bernie Sanders, who has a history of heart trouble, Joe Biden, who has a history of brain trouble. He doesn't need to be there, but that's the guy they're going with. Now, who's going to be president while Joe's president? Because everybody knows, even if Joe is president, he can't be president. In other words, they're not going to trust him to make presidential decisions. What are they going to do? Not dead air hydration. I'll tell you what they're going to do. They're going to resurrect those Obama bastards. That's what they're going to do. And you're going to get all these Obama people back in there. Well, of course that's what's going to happen. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think Bernie was going to bring them in there? Well, hell no. But Joe will. And it's going to be one of those Obama people that's going to be president while Joe's president. And what do we know about a running mate from JoJo yet? Have we heard anything? Stacey Abrams? Andrew Yang? Is there anyone? Is there anyone? With the possible exception of Steyer and little Mike Bloomberg, who ran as Democrat presidential candidates, were even worthy of being vice president? Well, hell no. Who? Elizabeth Warren? Which one of those Castro boys was it? Julian? Fidel? Julian. He was the one that said that transgender men obviously have to have the right to an abortion. Yes, 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 he did. And all those other presidential candidates, including Joe Biden, including Bernie Sanders, stood there and nodded their heads sagely as though this guy were actually making sense. Go back and watch. Go back and watch the debates. Crazy stuff. We live in interesting times. Who's scared of coronavirus? Seriously, who's scared of it? Me either. Should we be? I don't know. They say we should. It is, I suppose, a serious problem. And this is all I'm going to say on it. Cough into your elbow and wash your hands. It seems to be the only advice that any practical, experienced person, you know, with a background in virology and epidemiology, say, cover your mouth, watch where you go, don't congregate a whole lot, and wash your hands, just like you would any flu season. Everybody's in an uproar because the president says, don't visit the nursing homes, don't visit your family members right now, because this is bad stuff. How many times have you gone to a nursing home in February? We're not having visitors this week due to a flu outbreak. What's the difference? There isn't any difference. Who knows how many nursing homes closed temporarily to visitors in the last year because of flu? All of them. Good God. Well, I guess that's about all the time we got. Don't live in fear, people. Don't sweat this corona thing. Everybody's buying. And this is what I don't understand. Everybody's hoarding toilet paper for a respiratory disorder. Yeah, go figure. I don't understand it, but there you go. ACP heard here. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up with an hour tonight. Old man's tired, and we're going to rest. Not exactly sure what happened to Mr. Moraz, but we'll find out, and we know we'll get him on here, and I can't wait for you guys to listen to what he's got to say. Sure, it was something pretty serious. We do it live, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network at blogtalkradio.com. And we also have a recorded version of the program that goes out, Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the on Blog Talk. No, not Blog Talk. Where are we at? Mojo, on the Mojo 5.0 radio. We're on Blog Talk now. Sundays at 4, the recorded version goes out over the Mojo 5.0 radio network, mojo50.com. If you're not listening, you really should be, because it is the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio out there. That's all the time we got. Well, we got a little bit more time, but that's all the time I've got. I'm about out of gas. You guys have a terrific Friday, moving into a terrific weekend. We'll take a look at things next week, as we do, through a conservative's perspective. In the meantime, God bless you. God bless America. We'll see you then.